back to another edition of Drop the Mitts Hockey Podcast. We've got an unbelievable guest today, one of the biggest beauties out there, host of the Live in Five podcast, and host of the legendary Hockey Night in Scottsdale, the People's Insider himself, Jay Swish, Jordan Schmaltz. How you doing, buddy?
You know what? Longtime listener. I've listened to your guys' stuff just over the last few days, so I don't know about longtime listener, but definitely first-time caller. Thank you for having me, baby. The people's champ over here, self-proclaimed, that is, the people's insider. But no, man, thank you for having me. Obviously, got the mullet wig on right now, going to the Mullet Mega Bowl later on today. So thank you for having me on the pod, brother. Appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Thank you so much again for taking the time. Do you want to plug, you know, what you guys are doing tonight over at Mullet Arena? Because obviously, you know, sad day. I know. I think for any hockey fan, man, it's just so shitty, especially for the great people that live in Scottsdale, you know, a real junk punch. Do you want to, you know, talk about what you guys are planning on doing tonight?
Yeah, it sucks, man. You know, first of all, if you just feel for the good Coyote faithful, obviously there are a lot of fans here in the desert in terms of hockey fans, and taking one on the chin last week in terms of, you know, moving the team or relocating to Salt Lake City. But in saying that, you know, the last week or so, we're just trying to take over the Coyotes marketing scheme, because it seems like they have just kind of called it you know, pulled the e-brake on that one, and they're just trying to get rid of all their merchandise as is. So no, I just thought going into this game, make it fun, make it something funny, try to shed, you know, a little humor on this game, a little light, because you never know. It might be the last game in Arizona in the NHL for quite some time here. Obviously, the next 3 to 5 years. But you never know moving forward in terms of will they bring a team back here. Obviously, hopefully they will later on. But you never know. In saying that, we just try to make this something fun. Obviously, I'm a big Will Ferrell guy. You factor in the Flint, Michigan Mega Bowl. I thought this was kind of something similar in terms of the Mullet Mega Bowl. It had a nice ring to it. It's a game that doesn't really mean anything. Edmonton clinching their first place or second place. It looks like they're second in the Pacific. So they're kind of all locked up with Vancouver being the top dog there. And obviously the Coyotes have, you know, had that golf schedule, you know, kind of picked out since probably the trade deadline when they shipped Zucker, Dumba, and all those guys out of town. So I just thought it'd be something funny, get the fans involved, make it a whiteout, and we'll be down there, boots on the ground, me and the Heat Daddy, my co-host at Hockey Night Scottsdale, just outside the iconic Mullet Arena before the game, handing out some t-shirts we made, chopping it up with the people. We're going live on the news. I mean, I'm going to be in a fucking toga, a mullet, my fast shades on. I mean, I'm going all out. I'm going full tilt for this thing. So I'm fired up for it, and it sounds like all the people are as well. We got guys flying in from North Carolina messaging me yesterday. I'm calling in sick, Swish. I'm telling my boss I have pneumonia. I'm getting on a bird tomorrow, and I'll see you. Can I get a shirt? I'm like, fella, it's on me, buddy. It's on me. So it's going to be fun, man. I can't wait.
That's what the marketing team's doing, man. They're all putting in their sick time and trying to use as much vacation as they can. But
exactly.
Fucking, like I said, you and the Heat Daddy, man, some two of the funniest people as far as hockey goes. And it's honestly really enlightening too. You know, I put you guys in the same category as, like, you know, guys like Biz that kind of bring that funny aspect of the game. And like I mentioned, some of the funniest segments that you guys have done have been right in Mullet Arena on the glass. Can you talk about what it's like, just the environment of Mullet, and again, like what it's like being in that arena? Because obviously it's a college arena, but it seems that a lot of people that go in there love it in there.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, that was probably one of the reasons why they are relocating the team and the team's being sold, just because they didn't have an arena plan. And NHL wise, it's probably not a long-term fix, or it isn't, just because the spectacle is somewhere under 4,600 people. But if you're going in there as a one-time viewer, or you're watching games just as a season ticket holder or a fan, I mean, it is unbelievable. It's like watching a USHL game. It's kind of has that college feel, but I would say it's even a little bit rowdier than that. It just feels like it's a junior game, a college game. You're watching Ovechkin and you're 10 rows up, but you're in the last row of a section. So it's pretty funny that way. It's a good spectacle. It's fun. It's like watching your favorite band at a really small venue or an intimate experience. So that's how I always compare it. But yeah, it's going to be a good one, especially tonight. It's going to be a whiteout. I think people are going to go crazy during the game. Hopefully, we have a lot of goals. Hopefully, the boys can win this game, because I got some cheddar on this thing. So, we got at plus 145. So, throwing the goddamn farm on this thing. So, let's go, Coyotes.
I just saw your recent post, too, about the spicy tuna. If he drops the mitts, man. So, you think he does it tonight?
I don't know if he's going to have a willing combatant tonight, just because Edmonton has it kind of locked up. Now, his only chance would be if they sit a few guys and maybe they call up a guy from the American League trying to make a mark. I haven't seen their roster, who took morning skate. I've been kind of buzzing around, but In saying that, he's going to definitely be running around. I mean, it's Tuna. He's got the lead in the league in pin. He's a friend of the show. Over at Live and Five, we nominated him for the Granite Chin Award. So the chin of the year went to Tuna O'Brien. He had led the league, tied in the league for fighting majors, and then as well as led the league in PIM. So yeah, he's no stranger to shed the laundry and throw in first, asking questions later. So I'm hoping, you know, he does something a little criminal out there tonight. I mean, come on, let's go with a bang, Tuna.
That's what I'm saying, man. Man, I want to get into, you know, you and the Heat Daddy, you know, how that whole relationship started, because you guys are taking literally Twitter by storm. It's some of the funniest shit I've seen. I mean, from the, you know, literally from on the glass things, the Dick's Sporting Goods, you know, content that you guys have done, some of the funniest shit I've seen, man. Talk about how that relationship kind of came about. And, you know, as far as like the live streams that you guys do, you guys have started doing like the shows as well, kind of like the improv type shit. Do you guys have plans of doing any more of those kind of shows?
Yeah, we're going actually up to Vancouver and Edmonton for game one here of the playoffs. We're going to be doing a back-to-back. It's looking like it's probably going to be Monday, Tuesday. So it'll be into Edmonton on Monday for game one at a bar called The Pint, and then The Pint as well in Vancouver. So yeah, we've done a bunch of live shows. We've probably done five or six this year. They're awesome, man. We just got back from Buffalo at the end of the month in March. That one was rowdy. I mean,
how was that, dude?
Oh, granite chins, people throwing both ways. I mean, it was insane. Like, it was crazy. Like, the people there, I mean, I don't know what you can say on this podcast.
Such an underrated city.
Yeah, I don't know what you can say on this podcast, but I had a guy hand me a bag of Colombian Bam Bam while I'm trying to do a show. I'm like, fella, first of all.
Oh, man, you're good. You could say whatever.
Yeah, so this guy, I'm on stage. I'm like, first of all, fella, I don't snow, but thank you for the gesture. You know, it's like, buddy, like, the people there are insane. They were crazy. They were rowdy. I think there's probably two chicks in the stands, but going back to how I met the Heat Daddy originally was, I mean, I was playing up until last year. So I was in Switzerland and then Helsinki, and then played 6 or 7 years over here, just kind of up and down between the NHL and the AHL. And every summer I would come back here, or at least my last three summers in Scottsdale when I bought my place, and he was always around. I mean, if you're going out on a night, the good chance you're going to run into the Heat Daddy. So our relationship kind of just happened naturally over the years in terms of hanging out with each other, see each other out. And then when I was going to call it quits and be done with hockey, I was like, man, like, we should do something. This is going back to last summer. Like, we should do a show. We should do a hockey show. I think it's missing a lack of color in different ways to bring the game. I think Spit and Chicklets does a really good job. I think Biz does a really good job. But I think we can bring a more even raw, uncut, and unfiltered, as crazy as that sounds, you know, version of that to the game. And I think we have pretty good chemistry. And, yeah, man, we have a lot of fun. These live shows have been great. The live streams we do once a week. And then, yeah, hopefully just, you know, keep building this thing and getting our chins out there and, you know, hitting the road. So it's been a lot of fun.
Now, the live shows, are they like 100% improv? Like, do you guys go in there expecting to talk hockey and then just kind of it unravels? Like, how does that work? Do you guys have a plan going in there of what you're going to talk about?
Yeah, a little yes and no. I mean, we definitely write like comedians before, but when you get in the arena, obviously that's going to change. So we do have a segment or a kind of a itinerary or a blueprint. I usually, you know, write it down and kind of get all of our notes dialed in. The Heat Daddy's got his notes. And then we're kind of like, okay, well, the first, you know, 10 minutes, 15 minutes is probably going to be like an opening monologue. So that's going to be basically improv comedy. And that could run anywhere to 20 minutes. Just depends how we're going. And then we'll usually cut to some sort of fan engagement where we'll do like a beer pong game, or we'll do flip cup, or we'll do a chug off. And, you know, we're involved in that. And then there'll be like a merch giveaway. And then we'll kind of go back to maybe a little bit talking about the game. It just kind of depends. It's really improv. It's about a 75-minute show, and it's a lot of fun because we're reading off each other the whole time. And maybe something we were talking in the green room before, you know, hey, we want to drop this. We don't even touch on that. Or it's funny what jokes work. You just got to be able to feel the crowd and ultimately kind of just, you know, play in the moment. It's like running the two-minute drill. Omaha! So yeah. It's been a lot of fun.
Now, brother, have you always had this kind of persona about you? This, I mean, pretty much it's like a character, right? I mean, have you always had this like kind of aspect to yourself, like even going back to your playing days? And then immediately after you stopped, you're like, obviously you guys came up with this idea. Have you always been this fucking hilarious?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I appreciate that. But yeah, I mean, I was a guy that wouldn't shut the fuck up and locker rooms. I'd be snapping it around. I'd be going tape to tape, trying to think of the funniest joke I could for the boys holding court. And then going back to even wearing wigs. I mean, I've been wearing wigs for 10 years now. I used to go out to the bars and just wear a wig, and I'd call my alter ego Clay. And I'd be like, boys, I'm going Clay tonight. And once I put the fast shades on and the wig, I'm Clay. So I'd be sitting at a nice restaurant in the middle of the summer while we're training in Minnesota, and I'd be with the wig on at 6 p.m. Then I'd wear it out to the bar that night. I mean, people would be looking at me like I'm a goddamn freak show, but it would just be, it would be so funny because I would just, you know, some nights I called for a wig. And it goes back to just movies of old, that old school comedy, like Starsky and Hutch. You know, you go, like, they're talking about, like, you know, it's Hutch and Starsky, and the, they're sitting in the cop shop there or whatever. And, you know, Starsky's like, who does your wig work? He's like, what? Hutch is like, what? He's like, you don't have a wig guy? You always got to have a wig guy. So I've always had a wig guy, you know, right. And going back to that. But yeah, no, I've always had the character, or just, you know, going off the rails a little bit.
Now, when you're like buzzing around mullet, or, you know, in that hockey space, and you're, you know, you're Clay, right? Have you ran into any people that, like, you know, kind of like higher end hockey people that are just like, what the fuck is going on here?
Oh yeah. When we did the one on the glass series, I had my Tied to Go Ricky Bobby NASCAR jacket on, Franklin gloves on, wig, fast shades, and a pair of, I believe, jean shorts on. And I walk around, I turn the corner, and I see my buddy, Brad Richardson, who's now scouting for Calgary. And he's with, like, Don Maloney, who's the GM or assistant GM of Calgary, and a couple other guys too, like higher up in the brass. And I'm shaking their hands like, fuck, first of all, I got a glove on right now. It's like, how you doing, boys? But they all love it. They think it's hilarious. But it's I definitely have ran into a decent amount of, you know, people even working in hockey. Tony Herkus, I ran into, ex-Sioux guy, the Herkus Circus, was probably the best player in Sioux history, now scouts for Tampa Bay, and some other GMs. They all love it, though. It's funny, and they're just – they know it's just Swishy being Swish, so it's right. Pretty funny.
Now, can you tell us a story about the glove, man? Some of the funniest shit. Like, I was watching that the vlog, I guess it was, before. Can you touch on how all that came about?
Yeah, I don't even know how that really came about. I mean, obviously, that day we were sitting in Moxie's, which is connected to Fashion Square, which is in the mall. And if you just make a left out of there and head about 7 paces north, you're going to run into Dick's Sporting Goods. Now, I've always been an advocate of Dick's Sporting Goods, especially going back to just fucking around, take an edible, go walk around Dick's Sporting Goods. Why not? I mean, what are you going to find? You're going to end up in the camping section, the batting section. You never know. But anyways, we had a few drinks that day, and we were going to the batting cage. And I'm like, Rob, like, talking to the Heat Daddy. And I was like, man, we need batting gloves. Like, if we're going to be hitting with shitty bats, like, our hands are going to be stinging. So we went over to Dick's Sporting Goods, got the eye black, got the batting gloves. And once I put them on, I knew, I was like, holy fuck, like, I don't think I can take these off the rest of the night. It just feels so good when I'm gripping my beer. Like, it just, I don't have to hold it as tight. I don't even need pine tar. It's just sticking in there. It's like putting a gun in the holster. So that is really how it developed. And then I just kind of randomly just started wearing them out. And it's hilarious when we're doing these live shows, because people will come up to me and they'll have the Franklins on. They won't even say a word. They'll just hold up their hand. I'm like, oh my God, you got the Franklins on. You're ready to rock. So that's kind of how that came about. I actually, I'm working on a Franklin sponsorship right now. They sent me like three or
no
four.
No way, dude.
They sent me like three or four pairs of free gloves. They're coming in the mail. They're custom. They say People's Insider on them. It's going to be hilarious. So,
but there's going to be nothing like the old one, right? The original, you know, the original glove that you have, right?
No, it's, you know how it is. It's just going back,
like,
to your
switching up a twig, man.
Exactly. So we'll see.
So, man, another thing, you've got this podcast, the Live in Five, you do with your buddy Gage, another beauty, you know, another North Dakota legend. How's that podcast going? I've gotten to listen to a couple. You've had some unreal guests, Dave Carl, national, you know, just won the Natty. How's that been going for you guys?
Yeah, it's been good. I think it's been, like I say, low and slow. It's been good, though, in terms of just getting good guests on. I think that's our biggest focus. We had Colton Ost on, who was covering the Masters this past week. Obviously, David Carl. We've had Biz on. This week, we got Nate Schmidt from Winnipeg coming on. He's a goofball. So we've had a lot of good guests in terms of just people in and around the game, and also, you know, non-hockey people as well, as which we kind of like to do. We like to talk about hockey, but also get off on other tangents and different things like that. And Ozzie's great. I mean, he was a captain at North Dakota for 2 years. He was a national champion. He played with my brother on that team. He was one grade below me. So I've always been good buddies with him. And, you know, he's got his moving company and different things, but it's awesome. We get to talk once or twice a week and get some pretty good guests on. So I'm really enjoying it, man. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, you guys have unbelievable chemistry, too. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
But man, Like going back, you talking about the guests, man. Like you had you know, Denver winning it all. Yep. Do you think there's a shot, you know, Dave Carl goes to the NHL?
I think if the bag is right, I think he might need to call the People's Insider, maybe hire him as his agent, first of all. But yeah, right. I think he's smart, and he's so just such an old soul, being an Alaska guy, the last frontier. He's been coaching since he was 18 years old. I mean,
so well spoken.
Yeah, just the wits about him. He's so calm. Yeah. He's so good. And I think he's honestly going to wait for the right opportunity. Now, if the bag is right, now the Pegulas come to him in Buffalo and say, hey, here's 4x4. I don't think he's turning that down to go down to Chippewa Street and maybe try to turn that thing around. But right. I don't know. He's definitely going to have offers in the next 1 or 2 years. Will it be this year, next year? We'll see. I think the time is probably right now, coming off, you know, his second national championship, right. Won the World Juniors. So he's going to be in the NHL when he wants to be. I think there's going to be a line of people knocking on his door in terms of general managers around the league. So we'll see where he ends up. But I definitely think he's so smart that he's going to wait for the right spot, the right fit to go into somewhere and be like, okay, you know what, this feels right for my family. And this team has definitely some young, promising pieces.
Yeah, they're unbelievable, man. Like that run they went on and how they were able to kind of shut down that BC and those young guys. I mean, that's right out of the textbook, right?
Yeah, that defensive clinic they put on was crazy. I was watching that game. We did it for Hockey Night in Scottsdale. And Matty Davis played really well, their netminder there. But just the way that they were able to defend from the dots out, it's just they didn't allow anything in the slot, anything across the box. It was crazy. I mean, they had that one chance, BC, at the start of the third, I believe, Leonard, to maybe, you know, put them down.
Oh, my God, that was unbelievable.
But then Davis was there for the save. Right. So they just locked it down, those Bouillon brothers. I mean, those guys were great. It's just DC, man. All the guy does is win.
Right. And I kind of want to – we had absolute mayhem last night, too, in the NHL. I mean,
yes,
coming down to four teams making the playoffs. How do you feel about Washington making the playoffs? I mean, I'm not too thrilled about it. I think they're going to get absolutely waxed against the Rangers. What are your thoughts on how this whole thing finished out?
I think I'm on the same page as you, brother. I just think – four games, probably they're going to get whacked. They might squeeze out one if Ovi has two tucks in a game or something like right. that. But yeah, I mean, they're old, they're run down. It's just crazy, their goal differential and how they got into the playoffs. I mean, it doesn't even make sense how they got in if you're looking at the stats, right? I wish a team like Detroit would have got in. I think they're more exciting. I think they could have done a little bit of damage. But in saying that, it's crazy that Washington's in. But did you see that picture of Ovi after the game? Oh, my
he's
God.
He's just a mutant.
Like, that is not a guy you want to see in a back alley.
No, like, dude.
He don't need a gun. He don't need a knife. He's just going to just rip you apart.
No, and then even his, like, in-game, like, interviews, you can tell he doesn't want to talk to anyone when he's dialed in, and I can respect the hell out of that. But, man, again, to have this Caps make the playoffs with a minus 37 goal differential is outrageous.
It's crazy, and they don't even, like, have that – The pieces of their team, it doesn't even make sense how they got in. I mean, obviously, Ovi had 31 goals, and you know a lot of those goals were scored in the latter half of the season to will their team in. But Oshie's been hurt. Tom Wilson missed games to suspension. Sandin's been hurt. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. I mean, if they win one game against the Rangers, and I don't even think the Rangers are that good, but I just think if they even get one game, that's a fucking win for them in that series, because I don't know how they're in the playoffs. It's crazy.
Right, and their goalie, Charlie Lindgren, looks like one of my math substitute teachers from high school. I'm like, how the fuck is it? Like, it just doesn't make sense to me.
I know.
And it's honestly been one of the best regular seasons. I mean, you've seen McDavid; he just hit 100 apples. Kucherov very well may do it tonight. And neither of them probably won't win the Hart. I think it's going to go to MacKinnon. Do you think this has been one of the best regular seasons ever?
I think so. And I mean, I tweeted out yesterday, I just thought it was hilarious that everyone's talking about McJesus putting up 100 apples when a guy like Kucherov is going to get it probably, you know, tonight or tomorrow, whenever they play. It's just crazy that, you know, guys, I think there's been 7 or 8 guys in the league to have 100 assists or whatever it was. I mean, maybe not even that many. You know, I'm not the stat pack over here. I'm just the People's Insider. But I think Kucherov's going to get it. MacKinnon, he's been unbelievable. 50-odd goals, 138 points. I just think, like, for me, I don't think he's going to win the MVP, but if I had a vote, I would give it to Kucherov, because the differential between him and the next scorer on the Tampa Bay Lightning is Braden Point, and I believe he's 53 points back, which is just absurd to me. If they didn't have Kucherov on that team, I don't even think
they're a mid-level. They're like a mid-level team. I think they're probably finishing between 20 and 32, and I would probably say somewhere between 23 to 30. It's just crazy how good he's been. And people always talk about he gets all of his cookies on the power play. Well, he's second in the league, only behind, I think, McKinnon in even strength points, where he has 90. McKinnon's 91. So I do think you're right, though. I think the voters are, you know, it's just kind of McKinnon's year to win that heart. But, man, you can really make a case for Nikita Kucherov.
Do you think the NHL's kind of gotten away from that as far as like giving these awards out, where it's like, as far as the heart goes, it's like the most important to their team? Like, I would argue, and I'd agree with you, if you took Nikita Kucherov away from that team, right, they, I mean, I don't think they're half as good. And you could argue it for McKinnon. I mean, they're still fucking loaded.
Yes, I think you're right there. And I just think with Vasilevsky being hurt, also his save percentage has been dog shit this year. And just that point differential. I mean, you know how 53 points, man, that's a good season for one player. Like, right, you put up 53 points, that gets you $6 million right in this league, right? That's like essentially putting another player on your team with that gap. And, you know, the differential between the other guys with Draisaitl, McJesus, I think, is like 30-odd points. The same with Mikko Rantanen and with McKinnon. But, yeah, I mean, McKinnon, just when you watch him, though, just how he just gallops through the neutral zone, the explosiveness. Right. He's like a fucking Clydesdale out there. It's crazy. So I think that's why the voters will probably go with him now. It is a good case. I just think if you're looking at the definition of most valuable to their team, I think you could argue that Kucherov is probably that guy. But what a season it's been. I think if you're looking at the Norris even, it's probably Quinn Hughes this year. It just feels like it's his year with the team, kind of turning it around, going from the outhouse to the penthouse. They've had a great year there, finished number one in the Pacific. So, yeah, it's been a hell of a season. You just can't wait for playoffs, right? You just the last 3 weeks, it's like, all right, let's just get this thing going.
And I'm a Bruins guy too. So, I mean, yeah, last night, obviously, the big thing was, you know, would you rather Tampa? Would you rather Toronto? And I don't know why we're even, for me, it's 100% give me Toronto.
Yeah.
Because I think just the defensive core, I love Morgan Riley, but just that goaltending situation, I want to keep Tampa and Vasilevsky far away from Boston until we absolutely have to.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And it just seems like, you know, Boston over the years has been Toronto's big brother in terms of just, you know, kind of just manhandle them a little bit. Now, it's going to be a good series. I think it's going to really come down to Tavares's play, Marner, those guys. Tavares definitely slowing down this year. How does he look in the playoffs? Can he play at another level for, you know, a series two, whatever it is? Marner kind of always has the cloak on in terms of his playoff play defensively. I've never liked Toronto's defense. I think they rave about a lot of guys that are just, they're just kind of vanilla. But let's see how it goes. I love Boston. I love their decor. I love their goalie. Now their forwards, not as good as in years past, but I definitely think it's good enough to get it done against Toronto. And then, you know, you get that momentum of one series and you go from there, baby.
Now, you being a former defenseman, man, I want to go back to, you know, the Norris Trophy. Last year, obviously, we saw Erik Karlsson win it, but he was a minus, what, 23? Do you think, could you make an argument for Roman Josi winning the Norris over a guy like Quinn Hughes with his overall defensive play? Not necessarily just numbers-wise, but, you know, being a defenseman as a whole.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, he's got 23 odd goals, 85 points. Yeah. So he's right there with Quinn Hughes. I mean, he's leading the league for defensive goals, 23 goals. And I think he has 85 points, unless he had a couple last night. But 100%. I mean, that guy, even playing against him the three or four times we did, it's just, I got to play against him. It's just the way he can skate, the way he controls the play, how calm he is. Now, he's probably not as good laterally as a guy like Quinn Hughes, but up and down the ice, he's probably better. He's just as heady in terms of the way he thinks the game. He's so cerebral back there. I love his game. I think he's a little bit more calmer. He's definitely better defensively, the way he can close out guys. Yeah, you could definitely make the case for him. I just think this year is the voters are going to be like, you know what? It's Hughes's year. We want to get this guy a trophy similar to Fox. It's just kind of these guys that in and around it. I just think it's probably going to be him, and rightfully so. I think he deserves it.
Yeah, man, I agree. It's gonna come down to the wire. Obviously, I think either are definitely more than deserving. But man, I want to get into your playing days. I was out on the old elite prospects, and yep, man, you had some pretty good seasons. You know, one of the biggest things is you had an unbelievable career at North Dakota, and that's been one of the arenas. Like I really want to go visit the Ralph, man. Like,
for sure.
What was it like playing there? The fans, just for people, you know, obviously us being on East Coast, what is hockey like over there in North Dakota?
Yeah, it's there's nothing like it. You know, even going back as a fan this past year when we did a live show there in, I believe it was October for the Minnesota series, where I brought the Heat Daddy up there, and he couldn't even believe it. You know, he said, "What is this place?" I mean, the even the renovations, it seems like they're doing renovations every year to the locker room, to the facilities, to just everything the boys have. I mean, they have cryo chambers down there. They have red light therapy. They have a fucking napping room. They have, I mean, a water beds, all these different things that you couldn't even think of, they have there. And it's just, it's such a good culture there, the tradition, just even being around the town and the arena. I mean, it's, the town's probably 45,000 people. It's sold out every night with 12,000 people. So you got to think that's a third of the town going to the games. And I mean, it's the Taj Mahal of hockey. There's no better rink. It's, the culture is unbelievable. If you haven't been to a game there and you need an excuse to go up to Grand Forks, North Dakota, number one, everyone in that town is at the bar no later than 3 p.m. and they're throwing both ways with their chins tucked. So that's a good part about
that
it.
Kind of place.
Yes. Piss tanks. You know, it's just, the people are unbelievable, down to earth, salt of the earth type of people. But then you parlay that into just the hockey. It's, I mean, there's a reason why there's been so many NHLers that come out of North Dakota, because the facilities, the coaching staff. And yeah, I can't say enough good things. I had a great time there. You know, best years of my life. Played a year with my brother there. So it was so much fun. And I mean, those are still our closest buddies. We do a North Dakota Sioux golf trip every year. This will be our eighth year. We pick a random city. We fly in, and we still have like a full-on roster of guys that come in. It's about 20-odd guys. And holy fuck, fella, talk about throwing both ways with that crew. Because guys that go to North Dakota, especially back in my day, you know, there's a good amount of piss tanks.
Dude, like, I can't even imagine it. And obviously, they got an Air Force base out there. And that's the big thing is, like, everyone, they just booze. And I'm like, I really wish I could have made it out there. But, man, they had, you know, as far as the, you know, recently, they've had some really talented players, teams as a whole. Obviously, Jackson Blake went up for the, you know, Hobie Baker this past year. And they just haven't been able to get to that, you know, that point of winning a natty. What do you think the teams are missing? Like, what? I don't know. I mentioned before, they've got really talented players. Yeah. You know, regular season, they have some really great teams, but they just haven't been able to make it past, you know, they haven't been able to make it to the Frozen Four. Now, what do you think they're missing?
Yeah, it's been 8 years and they've won one tournament game. I mean, it's crazy. That's since the national championship. I don't know, man. It's really weird and it's frustrating because even as alumni, you still feel like you're in that locker room and you want to fix things. And, you know, we have a group chat of guys of like, what's going on with these guys? Are they a bunch of milk drinkers now? Are they pussies? Like, are they not having parties, or is it because of the transfers and the portal and all this? I think it's a little bit of both. I think it's, you know, this portal has changed a lot of different things in terms of bringing in guys. It seems like every year is free agency.
It's like fucking free agency,
dude. Yeah, so now you bring in guys that are 24, 25, that are, no disrespect, were good players at RIT, but they come in for 1 year at North Dakota using it like a gap year to hopefully go play pro hockey, where it's you're not really embedded into the culture. Yes, you know, you learn about it, you come in for a year, but even then, man, it's different. It's different when you have all those older players on your team showing the freshmen the way, really, you know, putting them in their place, what it is to be Sioux. And then you have these older guys that come in, and it's tough to do the same thing because he's 24 years old, 25. I mean, this guy, fuck, he might even have a kid and a wife, and who knows, because you guys are so old at this point when they come in. So I just think it's a little bit of the portal. I think it's a little bit of the recruiting. I mean, I'm not blaming the coaches at all. I just, you know, maybe we haven't lucked out on some of those, you know, key, I would say, middle six depth guys, role players that will do anything. You know, I always go back to guys that I play with, like, you know, maybe not the most talented guys and probably not even household names that people would even know about, but we had guys that are just Sioux. They would buy in, and then the talent around that nucleus would build off of that. So I just think it comes down to everything, and I just hope they can figure it out because, you know, it sucks seeing them, you know, lose after year, and you know, 2 years ago they didn't even make the fucking tournament. So it's like, boys, we got to figure this out and be able to compete with teams like Denver, BC, Michigan, because if you look at this facility, there's no excuses.
Right. Yeah, well, that's what's crazy, man. You mentioned like culture aspect of things, and you just brought up the transfer portal. It's like, it's impossible to grow a culture, right, when you got guys leaving after their freshman year. And you know what, for me, I think college hockey has grown as a whole, right, because you're getting a lot of these really talented kids from Canada that are deciding to come down. But again, a lot of them are one and done leaving, or two and done. And it's really hard to build that culture. So it's one of those, it's puzzling to me as well, man, because they've had some really talented teams. I mentioned Jackson Blake, you know, Reese Gaber was really fun to watch. I've been following him for, you know, a few years now. Do you think Jackson Blake should have won the Hobie?
I don't think so. I mean, he's a good player, and I think he's going to need a little lemon pepper in terms of some seasoning down there in the AHL, but I think he's going to be a good player. I think he's going to definitely have every chance to be an NHL or a top six type of player. I think they look at him in Carolina as maybe, you know, a little bit like a Seth Jarvis with some more moxie, undersized, but can get it done. But I don't know if he should have won the Hobie, but I mean, it's cool. Anytime you're in that consideration for the Hobie hat trick, it's pretty cool to be there, but it's just as a committee. And I always think there's a little bit of East Coast bias being a West guy, that they're probably going to go with a guy like Celebrini, especially when he's going to be the first overall pick, and he's deserving of it. So, but Jackson Blake definitely can make the case. I mean, led the NCHC in points, had a really good second half of the year. But I still think he needs to round out his game a little bit and mature. I think there's some things where he tries to overcomplicate things as a skill guy, but he has all the tools. He can play. He's got really good stick skills, obviously a heady player. So, you know, I'm hoping for the best for old Blaker.
Yeah, 100%, man. I know he made his NHL debut last night with Bradley Nadeau. So that was cool to see. Going back to your career, man, you were a journeyman. You've been all over. Yep. You've been overseas, you know, the St. Louis Blues you played with, Chicago Wolves, Rampage of San Antonio, the Marlies. What are some, you know, if you had to make a list of like your favorite places that you've played, do you have any hilarious stories about your days playing?
Yeah, I think just, you know, especially being a first round pick, it wasn't really how I drew it up. You know, it's like, holy fuck, I got to fucking keep my suitcase packed at all times here. And I got to be on standby on Southwest just in case I'm going somewhere. I think I played in every division in the jungle. Actually, I know I did. I played in the, you know, the Atlantic out there, the East. I played in the Toronto division. I think it's the Atlantic and the East. And then you got the Central, the West, and then the Pacific. So I touched them all in terms of that, the AHL. I got my full-on flavor of that league. But, yeah, I think, like, I just go back to just playing with cool guys and different things. Obviously, St. Louis, you know, my roommate in the minors was Jordan Binnington, who a guy I stood in his wedding last summer. He's one of my best friends, and he gets a bad rap for what he is, but he's, if you knew him, he's a full-on beauty and just a guy's guy. So guys like that, Kenny Agostino is a guy that he's a little bit of a journeyman as well. He was an AHL MVP in Chicago. I got two stops with him in Chicago as well as in Toronto. So yeah, man, I think just playing with good dudes, I think the game has definitely changed from when I came into the league in terms of the AHL, and now it's not so much the Iron League anymore. I think it's it's changed in terms of everything in a good way, but yeah, I love my time in Helsinki, Finland. I would say if I'm looking at one spot that I had a lot of fun in and just kind of was able to revitalize my game, I think I was kind of getting burnt out of the AHL. I was just, you know, running around city to city, and it just wasn't that much fun anymore for me. But I got that year in Helsinki, and, you know, despite the sun setting at 2:15 p.m., fuck, man, that city's unbelievable. The people are great, and I just love my time in Finland, and I always go back to playing for that IFK Helsinki team, because 8,500 people every night, sold out, unbelievable barn. You get treated like the Yankees of Finland. I mean, you get treated better than any AHL team there. It's not NHL, obviously, because it's Europe, but it's a very good program. And yeah, I always go back to my time in Finland, and I always tell people, Finland, if you're a single guy, sneaky trim fella.
There you go. Dude, like, and again, did you get to travel around at all? Like, obviously, you were probably playing most of the time, but did you get to travel around to, like, other countries while you were there?
Yeah, for sure. I did, and especially last year in Switzerland. I was hurt with an injury last year, but traveled a bunch. I mean, Switzerland is so centrally located. You can get to Paris in 3-4 hours. You can get down Lake Como in an hour and a half, Milan, all these cities, you know, just via train or get in your car and drive. And even in Helsinki, we would, you know, the flights are so cheap and close. We did Stockholm, obviously, Copenhagen, a couple other cities as well. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun, man. And I just think if any guy is kind of on that verge of, you know, on the back nine of what they think their career is, go over to Europe and go try it out, because you can get to a good organization and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, 100%, man. Like, I feel like it gets kind of a bad rap too. Like, I don't know. It's still great hockey over there. I know, like, I've known a couple people that have gone to, like, Stockholm and had an absolute blast. Like, the women there, unbelievable.
Yep.
So again, like, yeah, it's definitely one of those things that kind of gets a bad rap. Like, you know, if you're going overseas, like you're not, you know, not a great player, which I completely disagree with, because it's still phenomenal hockey. But again, man, I can't thank you enough for taking the time to, you know, do this pod. If you want to plug again what's going on tonight, I'm going to try to make a couple shorts before we, you know, so we can get it out there where people can buy shirts. If you want to, you know, plug the mullet Mega Bowl.
Yeah, I got the Mullet Mega Bowl. It's a whiteout first and foremost, organized by yours truly, Jay Swish over here and Robbie Gucci, the Heat Daddy on Twitter. Folks, we are going down to the Mullet right in the jaw of Tempe, Arizona, the last game ever of Desert Dog history for the meantime. But yeah, we're going to be on right by the Uber pickup, which is Packard Avenue, just on the west side of the building, just right across from the entrance. So we'll be slinging some tees. People got, you know, pickups. We'll have a few. If you're coming, just bring cash, come hang out. And then obviously it's a whiteout, so keep that chin tucked when you're there. But no, brother, I appreciate you coming on. And again, if you want to order a t-shirt, go to butter.golf. They're on the website there. So if you're an out-of-town shooter, go there. Check it out, butter.golf. We got some other stuff on there. But no, thank you again, my friend. Tonight's going to be a blast. I can't wait. And thanks for having me on.
Yeah, of course, man. And again, guys, that was Jay Swish, Jordan Schmaltz of the Live in 5 pod, and also host of the legendary Hockey Night in Scottsdale. Unbelievable guy. Like I said, his Twitter is up there, at @J_Swish24, as well as the pod account at Live in 5 pod. And also go follow their YouTube as well. Go subscribe to their YouTube. They've got some awesome content on there. That's at Live in 5 2024. So definitely give them a, you know, subscribe to their content. They've got some really hilarious stuff out there. Awesome stuff. But thank you so much again, brother. I greatly appreciate you. I hope you and the Heat Daddy have a blast tonight. You know, give it hell, bro.
Yeah, going to try to keep it probably under 25 drinks tonight. We'll see how that goes. It is a Wednesday, folks. It is the hump day special. No, but thanks again, brother. Appreciate it, Chris.
Thank you so much, man. Take care. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Jay Swish, Jordan Schmaltz of the Live in 5 podcast, also host of the legendary Hockey Night in Scottsdale. You heard him pumping up tonight's whiteout at Mullet Arena. It's going to be the Coyotes' last game. Sad, sad story, but it looks like it's going to be a good event, a lot of fun. You know, Jay Swish putting the over-under drinks at 25, so obviously going to be hammering that over. And again, you know, unbelievable story. This dude is such a character. He, you know, one of the funniest guys I follow on Twitter, you know, as far as the hockey space goes. And he's just, you know, such a genuine dude and so funny. So we can't thank him enough, for coming on the podcast. I'll say it again. You can follow him. His personal Twitter is at @J_Swish24, as well as the pod account. At Live in 5 pod, and you can subscribe to their YouTube as well, at Live in 5 2024. Definitely give them, you know, support. Great guys, him and Gage. So definitely toss them a follow. You know, as I record this now, it's later in the evening. And we've had some pretty big news, you know, coming out of the college hockey world. Ryan Leonard of Boston College, you know, a part of that unreal freshman line with Will Smith, Gabe Perreault, and, you know, Leonard. He has announced that he's going to be returning to Boston College for his sophomore season. And listen, this is something that we kind of knew was happening. They put out a statement today from Brian McClellan, who's the president of hockey operations and the general manager of the Washington Capitals, and it's, his statement was Ryan Leonard indicated his desire to return for his sophomore season at Boston College. We support Ryan's decision to return to one of the best programs in the nation to continue his development. Ryan showed great leadership and made tremendous progress during his first year, which saw him score the most goals by a freshman in Boston College program history and the third most goals in the NCAA. We will continue to monitor his development and progress next year and look forward to watching Ryan build upon his successful freshman season. Listen, I think this is the right move. I just can't see a scenario, although he, out of the three, I think he's the most NHL ready. Out of those three, he plays that very heavy game. He's not afraid to muck it up. And also, I mean, he was the third highest. He had the third most goals in the NCAA. And again, the most as a freshman in Boston College program history. That's an incredible season. I mean, there's been some incredible players that have come out of Boston College, as we know. And for him to be atop that list, he's a stud. I mean, even, you know, where the Capitals got him, I think it was an absolute steal. And him going to the Caps right now for their playoff run, they are going to be playing the New York Rangers. And that's something that we'll get into a little bit after when we talk about the playoff matchups. What my thoughts are, my predictions. I just don't see how he's going to be able, how this is going to help his development. To be honest, them playing the Rangers and them barely getting in yesterday on a TJ Oshie empty netter because the Flyers had their backs, you know, against the wall. They had to pull the goalie. They had to win in regulation. So again, this is one of probably the easiest series to predict. I don't think it's going to go more than five games, if that. I would be shocked. But again, getting back to Lenny, I mean, I'm super excited for someone that lives in Massachusetts that tries to go to as many college hockey games as possible. I know for a fact this year, you know, next season, I'm definitely going to be, you know, tuning in to a ton more BC games. And what makes this even more interesting is, you know, if Will Smith and Gabe Perreault end up coming back, don't forget that the BC Eagles are going to be adding James Haggins as well as Teddy Stiga. James Haggins, the projected number one overall pick in the 2025 NHL draft. And then Teddy Stiga, who has flown up draft boards, you know, at the beginning of the season was a projected sixth, seventh round pick. And now there's the chance that he could potentially slide into the first round. Based on the season that he's had, this is going to be a loaded BC team. And again, I mentioned the other teams in the Hockey East have gotten better as well through the transfer portal. BU is going to be adding Cole Eiserman, Camille Bednarik, and Cole Hutson. As Lane leaves, Cole comes in and he's going to take over that spot. And then again, just some of the big transfer portal moves. BU also adds Matt Capone. You know, he's had a great career at Merrimack, and now he's going to get a shot at, you know, playing in a beanpot and whatnot. So yeah, it's a really exciting time for college hockey, especially seeing Lenny coming back. I fully anticipate that BC is going to be right back to the Frozen Four next year. Even though they have lost guys like today, Jack Malone signed, Cutter Gauthier is gone. And again, we'll see what happens with the rest of that crew. I mentioned Will Smith, Gabe Perreault, and even, you know, Jacob Fowler and Nett. I fully anticipate that he'll be back for another year to work on his game. So yeah, exciting times. It was really, really cool news. We kind of knew, yesterday that he was going to be coming back. So really cool to see him, you know, drop that news and, you know, we finally find out that he is coming back rather. So kind of want to transition a little bit into these playoff matchups. I mean, what an unreal night of hockey last night. I mean, Jesus, four teams fighting for a playoff spot. Obviously, unfortunately, Philly gets eliminated. Detroit gets eliminated in Pittsburgh as well. Sidney Crosby will not be making the playoffs. And Washington gets in. The way this game ended was absolutely bananas. I mean, Philly had their backs up against the wall. I mentioned they had to pull their goalie. They had to win in regulation. And they already knew that they were eliminated, right? I mean, the way that John Tortorella did have a news conference. And so the way that it worked, the way that he explained it is that they were already eliminated at that point. So he wasn't trying to do anything that was like trying to sink a team or anything. He had already known that they were eliminated at that point. So that's why they decided to pull the goalie. And again, TJ Oshie took advantage of that opportunity. He had a great hustle play. Obviously, Garnett Hathaway kind of stumbled a little bit. And how fitting Alexander Ovechkin and TJ Oshie are the two goal scorers to send them to the playoffs. I mentioned earlier, this is the one series that I think is going to be not as close as the other ones. I mean, the other series, as I go down the list here in a sec, are very evenly matched. It's going to be a hell of a first round. I mean, this is Jay Swish and I were talking about it earlier in the interview. This is one of the best regular seasons I've ever seen, if not the best. Again, how coming down to one of the last days of the season. Again, we very well may see two 100 assist seasons, both from Nikita Kucherov, who does play tonight. He's playing right now. And I actually should probably check to make sure that he hasn't already hit that, because that would be huge if he did indeed hit that. And then I mentioned Connor McDavid, who's already done it. He's at 100 assists. And it looks like not yet. So we've got two. He did score. He's got his 44th of the year. As I record this, it's 2-1. No 70th goal from Austin Matthews, but we do have a fourth goal from Ryan Reeves, so that you'll never see that again. So yeah, I mean, an incredible season. I mean, two of those guys, I fully anticipate either McKinnon or Kucherov winning the Hart. I think both of them are more than deserving. But again, that's how crazy this season was. McDavid, who didn't start off as hot, not going to be in the Hart talks, I don't think. I mean, I could very well see Connor Hellebuck in there. He's had a hell of a season. He's carried that team. As well as Sidney Crosby, too, who, you know, he's not in the playoffs, but they almost clinched, and it was very solely due to Sidney Crosby and his play and his ability to take over that team and lead them. So kind of going to go just from the, you know, from start to finish, these current playoff matchups, which is what most likely it's going to be. Obviously, tomorrow is the last day of the regular season. Playoffs are probably going to start on Saturday. So right now we've got matchups of the Florida Panthers and the Tampa Bay Lightning. Battle of Florida, that's going to be an unreal matchup. Obviously, Boston Bruins going to be taking on Toronto. We know this season it's been an absolute bloodbath every game they've played in. So I'm really excited for that one. I think that's probably the most anticipated matchup as far as the Eastern Conference goes, and honestly, probably the West. As I look down, I see that Winnipeg-Colorado matchup. That's going to be a great one, but I am extremely excited for this Bruins-Toronto matchup. The next, I mentioned the Rangers-Capitals. I think that's going to be a little bit more of a easier series for the Rangers. Out of those teams that were in the, you know, in the hunt, I think the Capitals were probably the easiest matchup with a, I mean, you make the playoffs as the last seed with a minus 37 goal differential. You know, Charlie Lindgren's been playing pretty well for them, but not sure what he's going to have in the playoffs. Ovi has significantly slowed down. And again, I just don't know if this team has the firepower to keep up with the New York Rangers. And then the Carolina Hurricanes and the Islanders. I think this is another matchup where, although New York does play that pesky slower game, kind of trap you up, I think Carolina takes this pretty convincingly, five games, maybe six. And then going, I'll go through the rest of the games. I've got Rangers in four. I've got Bruins in six in this one. And then as far as Florida and Tampa goes, I've got Tampa in seven. I think that's a game, that's a series that's going to go seven. And I think ultimately Tampa takes it. Moving down to the Western Conference. We've got the Dallas Stars versus the LA Kings. I like this matchup a lot. I'm really high on the Dallas Stars, especially with, you know, their young bucks they've had come up this season and have unbelievable years. Wyatt Johnston, Logan Stankoven, Miro Heiskanen's been unreal. Harley, and again, to mix that in with some of the older guys. God, I didn't even mention Rupe Hintz, Jason Robertson. I don't even know if I technically consider them young guys at this point, but sprinkle that in with, you know, Pavelski, who's got that experience, Jamie Benn, Tyler Seguin's going to be back. And then, you know, you got Jake Oettinger in net, who's I'm putting him as a top five goalie at this point for sure. I like Dallas in that series. I think that one's going to go five. And yeah, I'm taking Dallas. This one, this next one is probably the best matchup. If I had to, looking at the rest of them, Colorado, Winnipeg, obviously last week, Winnipeg had that slaughtering of Colorado 7-0. I had to look to make sure that Colorado wasn't resting their players. And, you know, again, it's one of those things, anything can happen on any given night. With that being said, I still am going to take Colorado. The way Nate Dogg's been playing, that dude is a human cheat code. He looks like he's playing on fucking rookie mode out there. And then anytime you've got Cale Makar, who I still consider the best defenseman in the league, I don't think he'll be winning the Norris this year. I'm sure he'll get votes. That's going to come down to probably Roman Josi and Quinn Hughes, with probably Quinn Hughes winning it. But I'm going to be taking Colorado in that one. The next one, Vancouver, Nashville. This one's probably one of the easier ones, very similar to the likes of Carolina and the Islanders. Nashville's been a great story. I don't think anyone really thought that they'd be at this point. They decide to keep UC Saros. Philip Forsberg's having a great year. But I think Vancouver takes this one in five. Again, just what Vancouver has done, the great play from Quinn Hughes. Thatcher Demko is also a top five attendee in the league. And then adding a guy like Elias Lindholm, who they got for a bag of pucks in my mind. Add that with JT Miller, Elias Pettersson, you know, Brock Besser's been playing well. You know, this is going to be an exciting Vancouver team. And then last but not least, the Edmonton Oilers versus Vegas. This is a really good matchup too. Two teams that, again, have really, really strong firepower in the top six. Obviously, McDavid's having a year yet again, even with his slow start, finishing with 100 assists. Draisaitl's playing well right now. And then obviously Vegas at the deadline adding, you know, Thomas Hertl, and adding that with, you know, Jack Eichel. I'm going to take Edmonton in this one, and I'm going to say it goes six games. I think that's, you know, anytime you've got McDavid and Leon, I like them. I like the matchup here. I'm going to take Edmonton in six. So again, that some pretty exciting ones. We're going to be boots on ground with our buddy B's memes next week for game two. We were trying to get tickets to game one. We didn't really know what day it would be. We ended up scooping tickets for game two. We're going to be sitting in the rafters. He's never sat in the rafters before. It's a blast up there. So we'll be there checking that, you know, checking out the Bees Toronto. I'm sure it's going to be an absolute bloodbath. Really excited to see the antics of, you know, the likes of Brad Marchand, Max Domi, Tyler Bertuzzi. You know, now we're adding Patty Maroon into the mix. You know, Toronto's got obviously guys like Revo. I think it's going to be a really entertaining series. So again, like, it's just really exciting times. Really, really fun regular season. Although I was looking back on some of my predictions, and I think honestly the funniest one I had was, you know, Devin Levi. Devin Levi winning the Calder, and that one just kind of was a kick to the junk. Still love Dev. He's, you know, he's going to be a great goalie. Still is. And again, we've had some really cool, you know, guys make their NHL debuts that I kind of want to note, going through since our last episode. Last episode we had Bobby Robbins on. So we didn't really talk a whole lot of hockey. We pretty much talked, you know, the book, which was awesome. I'm in the process of reading it. And again, for any of you guys, that are readers that love these, you know, these kind of stories, Bobby Robbins' book, Sex, Drugs, Pucks, and Souls. Get that at BobbyRobbins.com. And again, it's been an awesome story so far. I'm about like three chapters in it, and it's already insane. So again, I mentioned before, we had a couple guys make their NHL debuts. Obviously last night we had a couple, right? Gavin Brindley and Luca Delbel Belouz. Both made their debuts, dual rookie lap, which was sick. For the Columbus Blue Jackets. And obviously Belouz scored, which was sick. So congratulations to him. It was a beautiful shot. And again, congratulations to him. It's really exciting to see a lot of these young bucks come in here and, you know, get a chance. And then obviously in Carolina, Jackson Blake, he was part of the three for the Hobie Baker. Obviously Macklin Celebrini ended up taking that, but Jackson Blake had an incredible year at North Dakota. He made his debut with UMaine forward. Another freshman who had an unbelievable season, decided to turn pro, Bradley Nadeau. So they both dual rookie lap again. I thought that was unreal. Logan Mayu also made his NHL debut for the Canadiens, along with earlier in the week, Lane Hutson, who dazzled as soon as he hit the ice, two assists, had a beautiful one walking the line, just the way that he's able to shift, and use the blue line. He assisted on Juraj Slafkovský's 20th goal, which got him a bonus. I want to say a 500K. I could be wrong on that. It might be like 250. There were a few that were up for bonuses. But nonetheless, awesome story. Awesome season, again, for a kid that's 19 years old. People already calling him a bust. Absolute bullshit. He's going to be a hell of a player for the Canadiens. And some other Canadiens notes. The Canadiens extend Martin St. Louis 2 years. I think he's done a hell of a job coaching this young team. We've said it multiple times on this podcast that they're going to be a really, really fun team to watch down the line. So again, I'm really happy that, you know, St. Louis is going to be getting another go for, you know, the next 2 years at least. And then again, just to go down, I want to make sure I didn't miss anyone. Lane Hutson made his NHL debut. And then last week I did not mention on the podcast, Frankie Nazar, who again, first game, again, scores and pulls out the Iceman Selly, like an absolute beauty that he is. Just rock star stuff out of Frankie Nazar. And again, another guy, Liam Ogren. He made his NHL debut for the Minnesota Wild. And yeah, that pretty much does it for newsworthy stuff for this week. We're on Austin Matthews watch right now, seeing tonight if he gets 70. I fully anticipate that he does. I think he's going to do it. Want to keep this updated and make sure that, yep, nothing has happened so far. 3-1 Tampa, and they're in the second period. So they're very well still maybe, there's still time, still a lot of hockey left, as we say, here at Drop the Mitts. One other thing that I forgot, the Wild have extended Marc-Andre Fleury Flower, for his age 40 season. He's coming back. Awesome stuff. And I think this is he's an awesome locker room guy. And again, they've got that young guy, Wallstedt coming up. I think what better guy to learn from than Marc-Andre Fleury. So they extend him. He's going to be 40 going into next year. This is the last thing, just cause it kind of hits a little bit, you know, being a Boston fan, Jack Edwards has decided to hang him up, saying yesterday that he is planning on retiring. The long 19-year career, one of the best to ever do it. He's had so many notable calls. I mean, from, you know, playoff games against the Leafs, Habs matchups. Again, he's just one of the best to ever do it. I know he's caught a lot of slack on, you know, social media and whatnot, which I think is absolute garbage. The dude's a staple in the game of hockey, and not even in Bruins history. You know what I'm saying? Like, you couldn't have written the season, the centennial season, any better. You know, he's going to ride off into the sunset. We've got a Bruins Leafs matchup. And again, I wish Jack nothing but the best. He's been great. You could tell just the outpouring love and support that he was getting, you know, throughout Bruins Nation, and just, they love him. We love Jack, and he, you know, other teams may not, but, I know for the past 19 years of following Bruins hockey, he's been the staple. So this is a statement from Jack. I grew up a Bruins fan, and who had more fun than us over the last two decades? In collaboration with the Bruins and Nesson leadership, I recently decided that the time has come for me to finish my shift as the voice of the Boston Bruins. I am no longer able to attain the standards I set for myself to honor the fans, the players, the Bruins organization, and Nesson with the best they all deserve. I retire from broadcasting not with a heavy heart, but gratefulness for a 19-year-long joyride. I owe my career, my own pursuit of happiness, to the love and support of my family. I thank every member of the Bruins and Nesson for your loyalty, helping me to achieve and live out a lifetime goal high above the ice. So again, you know, caps off to Jack. Hell of a career, my friend. Everything you hear from this guy, you know, people who've had different interactions with him have nothing but great things to say. So again, enjoy retirement. We all love you. And yeah, it'll never be the same. Not hearing Jack. So hopefully the Bees can, you know, win a cup this year and hoist one last time for old Jack. And yeah, tough stuff. I mean, a guy that's been around for 19 years. But that wraps up episode 39 of Drop the Mitts Hockey Podcast. Next week, we've got some really exciting stuff to announce. We've got some big things happening here. Some announcements we got to make. And yeah, we're going to be balls deep in playoffs. So, we'll definitely have a loaded episode for you guys next week. Another great interview. We'll give some hints throughout the week. Hilarious guy again. Unreal buddy of mine. So again, thank you guys for all your support as always, in supporting us here at Drop the Mitts. You can follow us on any platform at Drop Mitts Hockey. We've got our new merch store that's up and running. We've got some great, great stuff. Numerous people, you know, sending us texts and whatnot. You know, really pumping our tires about the quality of the product that we're putting out. And we're thrilled about it too. So again, you can visit our website, www.dropthemittshockey.com. You can also check out on our social media pages, our link, it's called Link Pop. So you can go in there, you'll be able to see our podcast episodes, the latest ones, and then you can also see all of our social media platforms as well as our collection, our shop, right? So some unreal sweatshirts and you know, some other things that you can grab. But everyone's really raved about the quality of the product. So we're really happy about that. So again, thank you guys so much. That wraps up episode 39, of Drop the Mitts. I'm your host, Chris Davis. Thank you guys so much for the love and support as always. Take care and obviously be safe out there. Love you guys.